Blog Talk Radio.
This is Monica Liel welcoming you to the LL Research radio program In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. Today is Friday, March 15th, 2013. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. Jim McCarty is Carla's husband, the scribe for the Ra Contact, and president of LL Research. Please visit the websites llresearch.org, home to over 1,500 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, the Law of One material, interviews, speeches, and more. And the community website bringforth.org, that's bring the number 4th.org, featuring forums, blogs, chat rooms, and more. I will be asking Carla and Jim questions that come from you. If you would like to ask a question live on the air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. Again, that number is 646-595-2294. Or you can join the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember that this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Again, I'm Monica Liel, and I'm talking with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty of LL Research. Hi, Carla and Jim. How are you doing today?
We're doing well.
Hey, we're good. So how are you?
Beautiful day out here in Texas. It's a beautiful spring day, and I got my planting done and watering my garden and doing good. Had a good day. Had a busy day with my business and you know, installed a machine this afternoon. Everything's good. We're good.
Well, we're
all right.
We're just waiting for the doctor to decide that we really are going to have a procedure. I'm almost wondering if there is some energy that wants not to have this operation, because it's been 3 weeks since I had that test on my heart. You know, and they said 7 to 10 days you'll be in the queue for the procedure. And it's been 3 weeks, so I don't know what's going
on. Gosh, you'd think they'd want.
Maybe we should just make an appointment with a surgeon and just say, is there some reason you don't want us to have this operation?
Yeah, that is odd.
Yeah.
Gosh, well, I sure hope you get that scheduled soon, because I know you're anxious to get that over with.
Well, you know, it's not an anxiety as much as it's a knowledge of how things work. We know that everything is how you set your intention, how you approach things, what you think about things, how all the people that are, you know, thinking prayerful thoughts for you set their intentions and think their thoughts and say their prayers. And when you have a date, you have a focus for those thoughts. And they all focus on that time when we can focus on everything going perfectly, coming out great, and, you know, just visualizing every step of the way, everything comes out well. And now it's time for a complete healing. And you visualize the healing, you visualize everything, you know, working out perfectly. When you don't have a center, when you don't have some way to think about it, you know, usefully think about it, you're left kind of dangling. And all you can do is, you know, say, well, I believe that, you know, this is for the highest and best. It wouldn't be happening this way if it weren't supposed to happen this way. You know, how do we know what in the world's going on? Maybe the angels know that it's not until after a certain date that it's only going to work then, you know. And they're just keeping it off of everybody's mind until then. You don't know. But, you know, it's hard to think totally positively when you have no center for your thoughts. And so I will be very relieved to get going, you know, to be in train, to get it behind me and get going on the healing. I'm looking forward to that. Oh, I do have some news. You know, Jim, I almost forgot. I got my offloading indoor wheelchair today. So I can sit and not hurt my bottom. You know how if you sit in bed for too long, you get sores, you know, pressure sores. And the only way to avoid that, if you can't walk, is to get an offloading chair, which means that I'm not confined to the offloading mattress on my bed. I can go to the kitchen, put something on the tray in front of my wheelchair, and be useful in the kitchen to a certain extent. I can go visit with friends in the living room and then, you know, drive myself back in here to go to the bathroom and drive myself. You know, how handy is that? So isn't that going to be wonderful?
Great.
Yeah.
Well, that's great news. I'm glad for you.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and go to the opening riff then, and this is from Ra, Session 29, Question 5. Questioner, now our sun is a sub-logos of the logos, that is the major galactic logos, correct? I am Ra. This is correct. Questioner, are there any sub-sub-logos that are found in our planetary system that are logos that are sub to our sun? I am Ra. This is correct. Questioner, would you tell me what one of those, would you give me an example of one of those I'll call sub-sub-logos? I am Ra. One example is your mind-body-spirit complex. Questioner, then every entity that exists would be a some type of sub or sub-sub logos. Is this correct? I am Ra. This is correct down to the limits of any observation, for the entire creation is alive.
Thank you, Monica. The entire creation is alive. Have you ever wondered why crystals work? The entire creation is alive. Have you ever wondered why water is so healing? The entire creation is alive. Have you ever wondered why the wind feels so good on your face and the sun? The entire creation is alive. Now, just that is enough to blow my mind for the day. But I wanted to focus on the fact that we are only a couple of generations down from the Creator. The Creator that has a certain nature, that vibrates in a certain way. The one great original thought is a thought of unconditional love. That is the meaning of the word logos, thought. And several times Ra talks about the nature of that one thought. It is love. It is the love that creates and destroys. It decided to know itself, and so we came into being. First the planets, the suns and the planets in their courses and so forth, and then us. That's a very short history, you know, compared to most family trees. Us, the sun, and the Creator. Wow. So we are people of the sun. We are children of the one Creator. We're grandchildren. And in between us and the one infinite Creator, who do we have for mom and dad? We have Mother Nature and Father Sun, you know, Sister Moon. Isn't that wonderful to think? And isn't it a lot easier to see why the only way to think of each other that works, that really works in the long run, is love? If everyone at heart, in essence, is made of unconditional love, with the few additions, embroidery, shall we say, of our particular sub-logos, the sun, so that we of Mars and Venus and Earth and so forth have a slightly different archetypal mind than other people throughout the galaxy. Not very different, but different enough to notice. With that one exception, the exception that some of us are from elsewhere and consequently we may have the you know, overarching cultural or racial background of Mars or Maldek or Venus, because we're brought here from elsewhere, or we chose to come here from elsewhere. We're all the same. Not in the outer ways, obviously. And certainly not in the way we look. Don't have to prove that. That's clear. What's not clear sometimes is how alike we are. And the only way that becomes clear is when you when you treat people as if they had souls, as if they had the Creator as their essence. And you begin to draw that out of people. And even if people don't treat others as the wonderful entities that they are, they treat you that way. And you can begin to see who they really are. You see their essence. They give you their essence. And then you see, oh, of course, you are love. And I love you. It's so easy to love when you realize that that person is love itself. And you have the honor of being in contact with that person. You have the honor of sharing energy with that person. Love is reflected in love. I just thought I'd run that by everybody because it's easy to forget. It really is. It doesn't appeal to one's intuition. It just doesn't seem as if it were possible that somebody like Idi Amin or someone like Mother Teresa could be like us in essence. But we have Mother Teresa within us, and we have Idi Amin as well. And what we choose to offer in our outer self is what you see is what you get. But that doesn't mean in any way, shape, or form that our essence is different. I think it's a wonderful thing to remember. And the harder it is to remember, the more important it is. Jim and I went through a difficulty recently with neighbors that we have, not here in town, but with another piece of property that Jim owns. It's a wilderness farm, and the people there became upset with the way we were behaving. It all had to do with an access road that they don't need and we do, and they have never tried to fix it or care for it, and we have, and put a lot of money in it, and we started asking them please either to take care of it with us or quit tearing it up with ATVs and they were not charmed. And I'm sorry to say, we actually called a lawyer because we had a case. We could have gotten the law to say yes. For 22 years, we've taken care of that place, and we have the right to that road. And we should be able to use it and put a gate up at the top of it and keep people off of it because they're destroying it. It's a very fragile road, you see. Easy to break down. It's etched out of the side of a cliff. So we finally came to our senses the other day, and it felt so good. We looked at each other, and we just said, let's just drop it. Let's drop it completely. Let's let the neighbors do what they want. If the road is destroyed, that's going to be fine with us because we're going to sell the land. We're going to let them win completely. What they want is for us to leave. They want to hunt on our land. We've never had a moment's peace there because they're constantly trying to hunt the deer and the turkey. Let's just sell it. And it felt so good to let go and not try to be right and not try to win, but just try to love those people for the creator that they are. And hey, if that's what they want with that piece of land, which unfortunately is right sandwiched between these two entities, okay, how about that? Let's let that happen. It's too bad. Sure, it's too bad. We had hopes to make a farm there. And we're going to have to give that up. I don't think L&L Research is going to give up the idea of some kind of a retreat place, whether it's a farm or not, I don't know. But it will no longer be ours. It will no longer be the one that we own. It'll be the one that L&L Research owns. And it won't be anything like the 93 acres that we did have. And we discovered that that's really okay. I'm so grateful that we came to this conclusion before we got into the situation where we would have to go to court and go through a lot of energy that we just don't have the ability to withstand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much that it finally came to us that we are all one, and that sometimes in order to win, you need to lose.
Thank you for sharing that, Carla. It's an interesting story there. Jim, did you have anything to add to that?
I remember being a kid and thinking that the things around me did have life in them. I think kids, little kids especially, have this feeling that the creation is alive, so it wouldn't be any secret to them. I think as we grow up, we kind of forget that things are alive and that the Creator is in everything around us, and in us too. So I guess this is an inborn kind of wisdom that we lose as we get older, because we need to go through certain catalysts and see things as separate from us, and different from us, so that we have a chance to reharmonize these things. If we had all of this knowledge and it stayed with us for the whole incarnation, then there really wouldn't be a whole lot to do here. It's sort of like when the mind-body-spirits did not have the veil between the conscious and subconscious minds. They were totally aware that everyone was the creator, and that then there was no impulse, no reason to try to grow, to get to the fourth density. And so they took an awful long time to get to the fourth density. So this is something that we're relearning. And I think that's the truth for everything that we do in our incarnations in third density. We're remembering and relearning things that have always been true for us and that maybe we had a real handle on when we were children. And I guess it just came to me now that maybe this is what Jesus was talking about, that we need to become again as little children before we can enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's an interesting way of looking at the spiritual journey, is becoming of a child mind, the mind that is accepting, the mind that sees unity, and the mind that loves without hesitation and gives without thought. So I think that's where we are. And the older we get, the wiser we get, and hopefully the younger we get in our hearts.
Okay, thank you. I wanted to let everybody know you're listening to In the Now with Carla Ruckert and Jim McCarty. And if you would like to call in live, we welcome live callers. I think someone called a few minutes ago and hung up. If you want to call back, we'd love to have you. You can call 646-595-2294, 646-595-2294. Be sure and press the 1 key when prompted if you want to ask your question live on the air. Okay, I'm going to go to our first question submitted from the bringforth.org forum. This is from Hope. Hope says, I'm new here, joining to specifically ask and make sense of this line above. And the quote is from the Law of One, the very first session. Questioner, do you have a specific purpose? And if so, could you tell us something of what your purpose is? I am Ra. We communicate now. We, too, have our place. We are not those of the love or of the light. We are those who are of the Law of One. In our vibration, the polarities are harmonized, the complexities are simplified, and the paradoxes have their solution. We are one. That is our nature and our purpose. Back to Hope. Hope says, I'm a huge fan of the Law of One material, but this sentence was brought to my attention. I truly didn't believe it when first mentioned, but upon searching the text for myself, saw that it's indeed true. I find this particularly disturbing, and I'm hoping that the good souls here may have addressed this issue or be familiar with it, and hopefully may be able to clarify it for me. I didn't find anything on the forum about this before. I was just wondering, could it be the fact that it was in the initial contact, it has my mind asking all sorts of questions. Why would they declare themselves to not be of the love or the light? Was the first contact possibly with a negative ET? Did the quality, purity of the contact increase as ongoing contact was made with LL Research as they refined and purified their intentions? Was the fact consent was given to continue contact after this admission somehow a consent to deception? This is from Hope.
What they were saying was that they were not of the love vibration or of the light vibration, which are fourth density for love and fifth density for wisdom. They are the Law of One, which is the balance of love and of light. They were saying that they were of the sixth density without using numbers.
We too have their place. See that? We too have our place. We're not those of the love, meaning fourth density, or of the light, meaning fifth density. We are those who are of the Law of One, meaning the density of unity, or the sixth density. And in truth, and Jim will have to be clearer about that than I am, because I'm very vague about this, because Don did this. Don edited heavily, especially in the first session. If you'll notice that whole beautiful paragraph about we are all thoughts dancing together, that was not put in there because it was too different from the question and answer format. And he was trying to make a body of material that was in no way distracting from the main message. He was trying to get the Law of One's message as clear as possible. So there were lots of things he took out. And then he took out stuff about our personal life because he didn't want to create people that were more interested in us than they were in the material. And he took out stuff about UFOs and other, topical things of interest because he thought that, you know, it would distract people from the basic metaphysical truths that were involved. I don't think in any way, shape, or form that there was a difference between the Ra of the first session and the Ra of the last, or any in between. Jim, do you remember anything that would indicate whether or not Don X this out, or whether it was just not transcribed correctly by Linda?
Well, I remember Don, as you said, wanting to make the first session more accessible to people. And like you said, he took out things that were in relation to our personal lives and other information that made the session anomalous. He wanted this to be accessible to people. So he did some editing there that later on we decided to go back and change. When we published Book 5 of Law of One, this was all of the personal material that had been removed, because at that point we felt that people had become familiar with the Law of One in the first four books, and that now, which was 1998.
It was 15 years after the contact itself.
Right. And we felt that at that point people could use the material that had been taken out concerning us of a personal nature and see that we were like them, and that this, what happened to us, could happen to anyone in the use of Catalyst and whatever problems we were having. So we put that material back in, and we put all the material back in that had to do with the UFOs and so forth, so that everything would be available. Don was a scientist, and he wanted to have the information as objective as possible and as accessible as possible, and that was his choice. So at that time, that's what we did. And later on, we balanced that out by publishing it in 1998 as Book 5. Prior to the raw contact, the only types of the contacts we had were with fourth density love and fifth density wisdom vibrations, Hetan especially being of the fourth density and Latui being of the fifth density. So when Ra said they were not of either of those vibrations, what they were telling us, they weren't of the fourth or fifth density, and that we had what they would call a more intensive seeking, or seeking for more advanced information. The whole concept of the contact from confederation-oriented entities of a positive nature is that if you use the material that you're given, then more material will be given to you that takes you further along your journey. Whereas a lot of groups would receive information having to do with love and the need to meditate and to begin to see the Creator everywhere, but they wouldn't use the material. They would just, as Ross said in one session, let the material kind of rattle around in the mind without finding a home there. So when we began to use the material and to...
And we were trying to use it as much as we could all the time.
Right. But then we were allowing more material to come in, and that's why we got the raw contact. We were in need of more information to build upon that which we had hopefully seated within our being as foundation stones, who could continue to build upon that. So we got information from the sixth density, but they didn't describe themselves numerically saying fourth, fifth, or sixth. They just said they weren't of the love vibration, not of the light vibration. They were of the Law of One, which is the sixth density.
Now, it doesn't mean that they're not entities of love. It doesn't mean that they're not entities of light. It means that in the sixth density, the love and the light are balanced to such a degree that they're completely harmonized. And it's unimaginable to us here. We cannot imagine it. And I try to encourage people not to imagine it, except in understanding how the universe works. You know, it's important to understand how the universe works. The closest we're ever going to get to understanding how the Creator works is in talking to a sixth density entity, because in sixth density, it's the last time that entities are looking back and caring anything about people that are not as far along as they are. In sixth density, at one point, in about the middle of the sixth density, they turn their back on everything that's happened before. They turn their back on their own personality and everything that they've, you know, spent so many incarnations developing, and they begin to crave to go back to the Creator. And so they are starting to work towards graduation into the seventh density, which is the density of
foreverness.
And as at the end of that seventh density, the graduation is into no time, no space, and what the Ra indicated at one point was a black hole. And that's the nature of the black hole, metaphysically speaking. It's those souls that have gone, that are going back to the Creator. That energy is being given back to the Creator. And that no time, no space, timelessness, spacelessness exists until about halfway through the next first density of the next octave. So see, we come into time about halfway through first density, the density with rocks and air and water and fire and earth. And we go through first density, we go through second density, the density of the animals and the plants. We go through our third density, which is the density of choice. We become spirits in third density. We decide how we're going to work. Are we going to pulverize towards service to others or service to self? And for the next couple of densities, in the density of love and in the density of light, fourth and fifth density, we're going to be working either on the positive track or the negative track, service to others or service to self. And we're going to be finding more and more about how to love and serve each other, or how to love and serve the self, and how to use wisdom in that love for each other, for the self, you see. And then in sixth density, the reason that it becomes unified is that the negative density, the negative polarity, can go no further. After a certain point, unless you admit that there is such a thing as the heart and love, and that it is the greatest power, you can go no further. You can't learn anymore. And the power and pressure of evolution, you know, is so strong in all of us. We want to evolve. We want to learn at our very core. We're curious. And we want to know what comes next. And so one by one by one, people that have graduated along third, fourth, and then fifth along the negative path discover in sixth density that they can go no further and they want to learn more. And so they give it up and they convert to sixth density service to others. And boy, do they believe in service to others. You know how converts are. There's nothing more serious and devoted than a new convert to any belief. So that's how it all works, you see. And we're not going to learn more intelligently about how things work in this octave of creation any more than we can learn from an entity such as Ra of the sixth density. Because, like I said, in seventh density, there's no interest in entities wanting to speak with us. They have no interest in speaking with us. They're focusing on the Creator entirely, and their thoughts are no longer towards helping those who are coming after them.
Interesting stuff there. Okay, quick follow-up question. This was actually from a discussion at bringforth.org in, Bring Forth One, Strictly Law of One Material. If anybody would like to join the discussion, the title of the thread is Ever Notice This, Ra. We are not of those of the love or the light. And there were a couple of follow-up questions in the discussion that I think are relevant here. So you said that you and Don left out a lot of the personal references and references to UFOs and that sort of thing. On this line specifically, a couple of people asked, was this line specifically left out because he was afraid people would freak out and get scared? And one person said, yeah, my mom read that part and just stopped reading right there. Boom, that was it. So did Don specifically think that people would misinterpret that line and think, oh, they're not good, and just leave it out?
Tell you the truth, I don't know. Jim, do you know?
I don't remember either. It's been a long time. Don did a lot of editing in that first session especially, and he had his own reasons. And all that I can
I doubt it. I doubt it. I think it was more that it was misleading, that he thought it would be misleading.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
I don't think it was, he thought it would make people freak out. I think he figured it would be misleading. I tell you, if you read the information that was gathered in the group prior to 1980, you can see that we were receiving a lot of concepts of the Law of One before we got to the Law of One. But they were stated in a much more simple form, and there was no overarching cosmology. There were no densities. There was no organization. It was just the Creator has a vibration of love, and the closer you get to that vibration, the closer you get to your work here being done, you know, which is to become a creature of love. So, you know, the Ra contact gave us a big barn in which to put those concepts, and I think it was so incredibly helpful. As a philosophy, it is seamless, and there are no, I've never found it to be containing any paradoxes. You know, it always works. You know, it works. And that's the only metaphysic I've ever read, and I read a lot of philosophy in college, where I couldn't pick out things that were wrong with it, you know, where it didn't make sense. Okay, well, if it says this and then it says this, how do you explain the two, you know? You never do, you know, I've never found that with the Law of One. What it says is logical and almost scientific in the way it's put out, almost, you know, like a system of physics, only using words instead of numbers and letters and things.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. And when I first read it, there was no contradiction. I didn't find anything in there that, you know, didn't fit with everything else. So that's how I felt. Now, since there are different, well, for those that may have the original Blue Books that, you know, the edited versions, I know there are a couple of websites with the re-listen. Well, there's the lawofone.info where you can search the content. And what is the other one that has the side-by-side comparison with the re-listen?
I don't know. Do you know me?
No, I don't.
Okay, we'll have
to. I honestly don't know. I love what Toby Wheelock has done with lawofone.info, and he is very much a part of L&L Research. He was with us from the very, very beginning. He asked our permission before he began the project, and it's the product, as most people know, of the re-listening project, where he actually listened to all of the tapes again, and then after he did that, he did it again, a third time. He, you know, re-listened again just to make absolutely sure that everything was captured that could be captured. There are a couple of places where the tape is so faint that you just can't make out a word or two. But where those places are, they're noted, and they're very rare. Mostly you can make out what's being said the more you listen to it again and again, and eventually you get it, is what he said. So I wouldn't go any further if I were, you know, trying to study it, because he's got the original edition, then he's got the lightly edited edition, and then then he's got the third, you know, heavily edited edition where everything is included.
This might be
okay,
the one
I just,
she was talking about. Law of One study guide is www.spiritofra.com/raw-section-201. I think that might have the comparisons.
Okay, I'll have to check. Okay, now I just did a search on re-listened, and it came up with lawofone.info. So Toby does have it here at the lawofone.info, but I'm not sure how to get to it from the first page. If you scroll down, there is link where it says re-listening report, but somehow when I did the search, I found where you can click on re-listened or original. And
yeah.
That is law1.info/results. But I'm not sure how to get to that page from the first page.
If you go to home, right up at the top, there are three choices. Let me get that up. Let's see. Here we are spending our precious time fiddling around with a computer, but it's not that hard to click on it. I've got it.
law1.info/relistening-report.php. Okay, no, this isn't the actual text. It probably has it in here. Okay, introduction, most significant changes, less significant changes, possible misstatements, edited and unedited answers. Yep, this has a lot of stuff here. That's law1.info/relistening-report.php. And you can get to it from the first page of law1.info. Just scroll down to where it says relistening. Mm-hmm. That ought to
so get, see, re-listened, edited, and original.
Yeah.
Slash edited. And what that is, you know, I think that there's a difference between the original that is, you know, fully in there, and then it still respects Don's removals of certain text, and then the whole thing, you know, the original. And I'm so delighted that Toby's done this, and hopefully one day we will be able to see it in print. But for now, it's just on the web.
Okay. We're going to go on to the next question. This is from Harusius. Harusius says, I am curious with regards to the law of one perspective of the percentage breakdown of the current 7 billion humans incarnate on Earth and their polarization. I've seen the term 10 to 20% STO, service to others, wanderers, new 3D potential graduates, etc., 80% unpolarized, leaning towards STS, service to self, incarnates from Maldek, Mars, being thrown around in a few places, which would make the population break down 20% STO and 80% leaning to STS. And I was curious as to whether there is any further understanding or clarification within the raw material itself. That being said, the 7 billion figure is one that is relatively recent, and thus there must be considerable new folk taking these positions from elsewhere, which leads me to wonder who and where these new folk are from. Recent 2D graduates? And this is referencing session 21, question 11, regarding these percentages, if anybody wants to look that up. I mean, we're not going to look it up now. I'm just saying if anybody listening wants to look that up, that's where this is discussed in the Law of One.
Okay, this is all, you know, a matter of conjecture. I tried to figure numbers, and I'm not very good at that kind of stuff. But, you know, if you figure that half the people are making their own choices, and half of the people that have incarnated since the Ra contact was made, which is in the last 30 years, probably it's gone from 5 billion to 7 billion people, right? So for 2 billion people, 20% would be, what? 20% of 2 billion, 40 million, is that right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so those are all making choices now. You have to realize how many people are in the inner realms and haven't been able to get in because there's such a backup. People have, you know, wanted to get placers here and have one more incarnation here and just try to work that, you know, program one more time and get a better grade and maybe graduate. And then, two, there are all the people that were early graduates in this third cycle, sub-cycle, 25,000-year cycle.
Right, a major cycle.
minor cycle, the B25,000 years. And so recently, I think people have started graduating. I mean, our planet is fourth density now. So at any point that someone dies and is able to leave the physical body behind, it would not be possible to come in exactly the same type body. There will be differences that are gradual in the way bodies are. But I think that a lot of people wanted to come back while there was still a gradual changeover from third to fourth on the part of the people, either to help the people make it or to help the planet heal. I think a lot of recent wanderers are from our very own planet, that they've graduated, they've looked around and thought, well, I wonder what I'd like to do for my first service. And they think, I know exactly what I want to do. I want to go back and I want to help clean up the water. I want to help clean up the air, you know, that kind of thing. And just be part of putting third density Earth to bed in a good way. So I think that most of the people, if not all of them, are Earth people, either from the inner planes that just hadn't been able to get an incarnation recently because of the backup, and, you know, seniority by vibration. The people that had the most possibility of graduating got in by seniority vibration. And so now, you know, gradually that backup is being relieved as people, you know, come in and get one more incarnation.
I believe a lot of those souls that are on the inner planes are, many of those are from the Maldek that destroyed itself hundreds of thousands of years ago, and they had the necessity of being healed. And this healing has taken a long time because their dissolution of the planet was so traumatic that for a great period of time they were not even conscious that they were beings. And this tangle of fear had to be untied by entities of the Confederation, and then those of Maldek were able to enter the inner planes of the Earth but were unable to incarnate in third density bodies for a period of time because they still had this healing to go on. So I think more of these entities have been able to take on third density bodies and continue on the work that they had done on Maldek. And we are facing some of the same problems here on planet Earth with our development of nuclear energy as they had on Maldek. So this energy is having a chance to work itself out in a balance once again.
And do you think we're going to work it out to where we don't? Do you think we're past the point of suffering the same fate as Maldek, or do you think that's still a concern?
I do think that we're past that point. I don't think that the negative has a prayer and I do mean that pun, of winning this particular battle. I think that there was a real problem with that, and it wasn't that long ago. But I think that people more and more are seeing through that constant preaching of solutions are only warlike. You must fight for and fill in the blank. And people are less and less desirous of showing their patriotism for their country by putting themselves in harm's way. I think that that belief had to go into almost an automatic response that, yes, automatically we would go to war. War is the answer. And we've tried to go to war and go to war and go to war again. You know, pick a country, any country it almost seemed like. And starting with Vietnam, people didn't actually want that, and there was a huge amount of resistance to it that I think was felt in people losing votes and stuff, you know, which speaks on Capitol Hill more than anything else. And so there's nothing automatic about it now. I think people are still showing their patriotism but when they put themselves in harm's way, and I have no intention of calling anybody that does that less than wonderful. I think it's, you know, it's a a very honorable thing to do, and I totally respect that choice. But I also respect the choice of wanting to show love for the country and show honor and respect by attempting to find solutions that don't have to do with fighting, and have more to do with talking with each other and coming to solutions that have harmonization in them rather than simply conquering. So I think that you would have had to have that automatic everybody agrees kind of response for that model to have won. And I think the time for it has passed. I really do. I don't think we will ever again have the kind of absolutely automatic response to the call of the country that we had in World War II.
Ra mentioned that about 3,300 years ago, what we would call the Battle of Armageddon was joined on the inner planes between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. There were approximately 4 different social memory complexes of fourth density positive that had decided to take part in this battle. And what this battle does is remove the possibility or the likelihood that this battle would need to be taken place on the outer planes of our third density world. And Ra mentioned that more likely we would see the guerrilla type warfare and see it around the planet here and there. And if you look around the world today, I mean, Afghanistan and Iraq are good examples of this type
South
of warfare.
America, all third world countries, you see a tremendous amount of guerrilla warfare.
The great power of the United States and our standing army with our huge ships and planes and bombs is of no use in places like Iraq and Afghanistan, because the guerrilla type warfare there takes the place of these roadside bombs and this surprise attack and being so elusive. It's a totally different type of warfare, and Ra said that would be more likely what would happen, and as well the planet would begin to release its heat. This buildup of hostile and warlike energy over thousands of years of battling, we would see volcanoes and tidal waves and earthquakes and superstorms and so forth here and there across the planet, also serving to release the pressure of this type of energy that's built up over the years. So what Ra had suggested 30 years ago is playing out now in these scenarios of the guerrilla warfare around the planet, which reduces the likelihood of what Ra said was the annihilatory type of war that plagued both Mars and Maldek.
You know, it's fun to note in this regard that we of America owe our status as a country, as a nation state, to guerrilla warfare. When the British came over to put down the colonists, they came with their red coats that marched in straight lines and fought battles out in the open. And here were these scraggly farmers, you know, with an old rifle that hid behind a tree and took pot shots, and there were enough of them that they won. So, you know, guerrilla warfare has a very honorable past, and we should have realized that there was a lot more to it than met the eye. And now here we are, just like the British redcoats, you know, getting ready to squash people with our great big tanks and stuff, and then the guerrillas will come out and do sneak attacks, and we don't know the terrain like they do, and you know, you can't do guerrilla warfare in somebody else's terrain. So it's kind of obvious. I'm really tickled that the Ra group pointed it out, because when you think about it, it pretty well what it comes down to. The only way to fight a huge standing army like we have is with guerrilla warfare, because it's always going to be less money involved on the other side, but not necessarily less devotion to their patriotism and their cause.
There was a we're just have a couple of minutes left, so just a follow-up comment. I'm sure you've seen that interview with some I don't know, some military guy talking about how there were some missiles that had been fired and they were just deactivated. So apparently some ETs had deactivated some missiles. This was way, I don't know, 10, 20 years ago or something. You know which story I'm talking about?
I don't, although I must say that my reaction is quite silly, and it's just, how cool is that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm just wondering if things did get really, you know, bad. I mean, do you think we're at a point now? I mean, I know there's been all this talk about disclosure, and there's some new big event coming up with that. I think they're having some kind of, you know, I didn't even read it, so I shouldn't even say what else. It was something on the forum. Somebody was talking about that. But, you know, there are a lot more UFO sightings lately. I mean, gosh, it's on mainstream news all over the place. There's just tons. So clearly
there's a whole lot of visitation. Jim just finished reading a book by Michael Sala. I can't remember the title of it. Do you?
Exposing U.S. Government Policies on Extraterrestrials.
And it talks about there being three different kinds of extraterrestrials. There are those such as the raw material talks about, service to others oriented, who, you know, very politely said, may we come among your people? And Eisenhower said, no, I don't think my people are ready for that. And they said, okay, and they walked away. Okay, so they show up in thought form when they're needed by those who are service to others. But that's not going to do anything about landing, you know, mass landings. Then there is a second type that don't really care and are just sort of the guardians, I think he called them. And then they're the third type that are totally service to self-oriented, and they have made, according to Sala, and he has 110 footnotes for every fact he says. No kidding. I mean, the footnotes are stupendous, huge footnotes, huge number of footnotes. And they have made agreements with various factions of our government and other governments with other nation states. You give me this, and I'll give you that. Jim, you've read more about that than I have. Why don't you tell them?
Well, basically what they have to offer is technology, and this is what Eisenhower was warning us about when he left office in 1959 and 60. He said, beware of the military-industrial complex, because this information is being held on a need-to-know basis, and not everybody in the government knows about it. Large multinational corporations are more likely to know about this because they get technology from it that they can use, they can sell, they can make money on. And what we have to offer, apparently, is DNA. Some of the Greys, especially, have a problem with, in their society, they had been cloning for so long that their DNA has been watered down, and they need an infusion of new DNA. They need to hybridize. And all these abductions that you see, and women reporting having the children, they're impregnated with extraterrestrials. They have a baby. The baby's taken from them. Apparently, this is what we have to offer. And the United States government and other governments around the world have apparently agreed to this because they really have no choice, because we don't have the technology to do battle with the extraterrestrials on really any level. Although, during the Reagan administration, the Strategic Defense Initiative was meant to develop particle beam weaponry and laser beams to shoot down UFOs, and there's been limited success there, and we've also gotten technology from that, but we still cannot compete with them. So we're pretty much under the gun here. We have these agreements that both sides apparently have broken many times, and it's an ongoing situation, and there are the positive entities that are willing to give aid to the planet to help us solve each and every problem, but we have pretty much refused it. And then there are entities that are simply observing what's going on and sort of like anthropologists marking it down in their notebook as to what works and what doesn't work on a planet like Earth.
And so we wish everybody a good evening.
After Jim just drops this bomb of information.
But, you know, if you think about it in one sentence, Monica, what you're basically hearing is, if there's a mass landing, it's not going to be by the good guys. So it's not that great a news. I mean, it's what's happening.
Okay. Are you saying that there really could be a mass landing, or are you saying that there
could be?
But
it would be in agreement with our governments, I think. Yeah.
Well, that's rather disconcerting. So do you think that the veil has – we're already recording, so I don't think we have very many live listeners.
Okay.
recording. But just to finish that up, because I don't want people freaking out over this. I'm sure
I don't think that it's going to happen, because for something like that to occur, you see, the nature of service to self is that people keep finding themselves in disagreement with each other and not able to make an agreement. And for mass landing to occur, there have to be too many factions of our government and other nation states' governments agreeing to it for it to happen. They just can't get it together. They can't find enough. They can't find enough usefulness to a technique like mass landing for it to happen. It's not. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's to everybody's benefit that is involved for this to stay as secret as possible. But, I mean, how secret can it stay? I mean, when there's so much interaction and so many people, you know, eventually get involved, you're going to get a constantly rising level of awareness in the popular mind that this is actually happening. What's not so clear is whether they're nice people or whether they're not. And, of course, it's very confusing because you get some data from service to others' entities like those of Ra who really want to help and would love to help us. And they're doing the best they can. They're offering spiritually based information that, if taken seriously and if followed carefully, would create a breed of human that was ever more honorable, ever more wise, and ever more loving.
Back to the idea of guerrilla concepts and guerrilla warfare, I think that, as Michael Sala mentions in his book, the positively oriented extraterrestrials seem to be more concerned about making contact with individuals and with light centers and with groups that are spiritually oriented. And these would be your guerrilla gang. And the negatively oriented are more likely to make contact with governments and corporations. And I think that type of a situation just continues to add to the level of confusion that is, you know, so prevalent in our society and has been for so long and probably won't change that a whole lot. But there are these groups of light centers and light workers all over the planet that are carrying the light and are spreading the light around. And it's available to anybody who wants it. So whatever direction you're headed in your spiritual journey, there's going to be an opportunity to continue on in that direction. Or there'd be an opportunity to turn toward the light and to see what's been shared over so many years now to those people on this planet that have been wishing to be of service to others, and wishing to open their hearts in love, and to see a graduation occur in a peaceful situation. So the addition of the extraterrestrial factor to the Earth population really, I think, just continues to enhance the possibility of both directions and really doesn't change things a whole lot. And I think that's what the quarantine was meant to do. As soon as there is the opportunity for one group to make contact with entities on Earth, which positively oriented entities have for some time, then there has to be the equal opportunity for the negatively oriented entities to make that contact too. So it just sort of builds up both sides, and we still have people who are confused and people who think they know a little bit about how to share love and light and go about it to the best of their ability.
Now, do you think the quarantine is in the process of being lifted right now? Is that why we're seeing so many more UFO sightings?
I don't think it's so much it's being lifted. It's just that it's being balanced. It's being equalized. There's both positive and negative activity going on, and we can probably expect to see more of both.
And Carla, you said something about getting permission or getting an agreement with the various governments in order to have some sort of a mass landing.
Yes.
Why would they need, I mean, if they're that much more, the negative guys, if they're obviously more technologically advanced, why would they need any sort of agreement? I mean, wouldn't it be more of an agreement on from the collective consciousness of the whole planet to have something that everybody would have to face and accept as reality?
Well, they need a way to establish an empire. They need a way to be fairly certain that they're going to be able to have their way once they land, or they become depolarized. They lose their spiritual power, and they certainly don't want to do that. So they look at the situation and they see, well, you know, is there a chance that we can make an alliance with this or that government or these governments and have our way, or is there still too much resistance? Is there still too much light? Is there too much risk for us to do this? And I think there is too much risk. There's just too many people that support the light and would not go along with being ruled by anybody from outer space or a government in the way that would be necessary in order for a negatively oriented rule or empire to be established.
Okay, so you're referring to the negative entity, the negative ETs, but there are negative ETs and there are positive ETs, and then there are, like you said, observers. Aren't a lot of these UFO sightings positive ETs also?
There are some thought forms that have to do with that helping people to get to that moment when they realize that there is more than a finite universe, that it's an infinite universe, and that concept of infinity blows their mind. And when the person is ready to wake up, that kind of UFO sighting is likely to appear. But for the actual nuts and bolts, you know, making dents in the ground with the landing gear, that kind of landing, you're going to be getting a service to self type.
Yeah. The mass sightings are more likely service to self, and the sightings that occur just with a small group of people or one or two people is likely to be the positive entities attempting to help a person who is wanting to wake up, wanting to start that journey of what is life, where am I going, what does all this mean?
What's my place in the universe, and where do I go from here?
And a lot of that happens in dreams, especially of a positive nature.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, people will say, I started having these entities visit me and I could see them on my bedroom ceiling. You know, that kind of thing. You see this over and over again. I mean, if you read the material, you see it over and over. And that's what that is. It's a fascinating subject, Monica. It really is.
Oh, yeah. I'm just thinking, because we just covered a lot of material for that last quick question. So I'm thinking about the people listening to this and trying to think how they might be perceiving this and what we can say to alleviate any fear that may have been triggered by this conversation. And
well, I think if it were going to happen in the way that you said, of some one group being so powerful that they were able to overpower all resistance from our governments and so forth and simply do a mass landing, that it would have already happened.
You got to remember, the negatively oriented entities aren't organized as one group. They're fighting amongst themselves. They all would like to have the upper hand, but they can't all have the upper hand. So the positively oriented entities are united in their effort to help the light grow. And the negatively oriented entities are having to battle each other as well as deal with various governments or corporations and the machinations that go on there.
Okay. And, you know, I remember one of my favorite sessions from KUO was from 2007, February 11th, and it had to do with rejoining the time lateral and the failed coup. And this was, February 11th, 2007, and unless you have any new updates
to
this.
I think that's probably the best one to turn people to.
Yeah.
People
okay.
Like that one.
Yeah, I would definitely refer everybody to that. You can read that at llresearch.org, or you can catch it at bringforth.org. That's bring, the number four, th.org, and go to Bring Forth Forums 1, then the sub-forum Sessions in Focus, and then you can do a search for the word lateral, L-A-T-E-R-A-L, or you can search the threads. This is called 2007.02.11, World Events, Failed STS Coup, Rejoining Time Lateral. And it has a link to that particular session. You can read the whole transcript, and then there's a discussion about it. So definitely recommend you check that out. But it's very, very reassuring talking about how the negative entities have failed to take over the planet, basically. So put your mind at ease if this triggered any fear, and go check that session out and read that, and you will understand a lot better. And we might even discuss that next week or something, because that's a really good session to discuss. So.
The contact continues to tell us that there's no need for any kind of fear at all. Fear is the place where negative entities do their best if there's fear around. See them as the creator. Send them love and light. We're all one.
Yeah, I think in that one that you mentioned, that session you mentioned, they start into it, and then they stop and they say, take a moment and release all fear. And then they go on with the story.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that's one of my favorite sessions, absolutely. Okay, well, we are quite out of time, so
sorry, everybody.
Oh, I don't think they mind, and I know we don't, so all right. Well, thank you, Carla and Jim. We'll see you next week, and want to let everybody know you've been listening to In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. Check out bringforth.org, that's bring, the number four, th.org, and llresearch.org. We are here every Friday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and we will be here next week. See you then.